our break is over. It's a good thing Paul Barker's not here. We all be getting in trouble. I need you all to come back to your chairs and have a seat, please, so we can proceed. Okay, 30 seconds, 30 more seconds. If anybody's out in the hallway, tell them we are about to begin. Okay, ladies, I'd like to encourage you to take out your calling statements often. Don't leave them in your folder or in your notebook. Maybe make a copy of it and stick it in your Bible or your journal or somewhere. And often review it and measure your progress and see what you're doing to do that which you've, you know, which you feel God's called you to do. And I was talking to some of the wives up here, and we all know that it changes in different seasons and it evolves. And so as it evolves, maybe keep a copy of this first one and see how it evolves in a few years. And really keep that, be mindful of it. Don't just forget it and go on, because it's so easy with, you know, the amount of meetings we had, it'd be so easy just to put all these notes in a notebook and file them on the shelf and never look at them again. But I would really encourage you to be mindful of these calling statements and really be prayerful about it. I think, remember Paul Barker told us he prays for his every day. So we probably could do that too. Okay, next session, switching gears here a little bit. For our next session, we're going to talk about, guess what? Discipleship. Surprise, surprise. Okay, but first of all, for those of you who haven't seen my pictures on Facebook, I have a couple of pictures for you of our sweet baby Josephine. She was born on December 15th. For those of you who are on Facebook, you've probably seen more pictures than you care to see, because somebody said, gosh, between you and Steve and James and Jonathan, you post so many pictures. And we do, and we can't help it. And we probably will keep doing that. And so you will probably get to watch this sweet baby grow up if you're our Facebook friend, because she is a joy. She was born on December 15th. When they came home from the hospital, they got to come to our house for the first 2.5 weeks, which was a real joy and pleasure. And we all stand in line to get to hold her. When her mother is nursing her, we just kind of say, okay, can you? One day, Jonathan walked in the house and he said, Mom, he said, William, can you go get the baby from your wife? Because I really want to hold her. And so, James, that's one of my favorite little pictures there. Alita Barker actually knitted that little hat she's wearing. So, anyway, James actually flew here this weekend. He arrived here last night for the writer's workshop this week. And he told me Friday, I talked to him and I said, are you going home? He was at work. I said, are you going home to pack tonight? And he said, well, first I'm going to go to dinner with Jonathan and Mariah. He said, but I have to go see Josephine before I leave, Mom. I haven't seen her since Monday. And I said, okay, so her uncles and her grandparents, we are all absolutely crazy about this baby girl. So she's now, I guess she's 6 weeks old. So we are enjoying every bit of her. For some reason, they're sending me pictures every day and they're not coming to my phone. So I'm going to have to work on that later. Okay, moving on. You ask us, you know, repeatedly throughout last year, when we got the comments back, you ask us for more time to process. So we have another processing session. Isn't this fun? This one has to do with discipleship, though. And so this is what we're going to do. I have some questions for you. And I've debated on whether to have you raise your hands or not. And I'm still trying to decide. I decided I was going to decide this in the moment. My first question for you is, how many of you are currently, as in currently, right now, leading a victory group? Okay? Can you raise your hands? Okay, that's good. Most of you, but not all. And if not, when's the last time that you did? So you don't have to answer that. Just think about that. My next question for you is this. What are you doing to intentionally make disciples? Okay? So I want you to think about that. We're going to have these questions up, and I'm going to have you write them down in a few minutes and just reflect on them for a few minutes. And you might think, okay, we talk about this all the time. I think we have to really guard our hearts against being too familiar, because we talk about discipleship a lot. We just had our Discipleship 2014 on Saturday. But I want you to really, today I want you, as we have some time to reflect in a few minutes, and then as we have discussion time, I want you to really reflect, because, you know, it's been my experience that, you know, in talking with a lot of the ladies at church, because we're in and out of the country, and I haven't had the groups here that I used to have, and through the years I've had a lot of amazing ladies and a lot of great discipleship groups, outreach groups, leadership groups. And, you know, I was, a couple of years ago, I was talking with some of the ladies who used to be in my group, and they were some of the most fruitful people you can even imagine. They were all, none of them were staff. They were all business, you know, business women. They were moms, and they were, but they, we had a group for a number of years, and they were very, very fruitful. They were all leading groups. And after a few years, after when we started traveling so much, then we stopped meeting, and then we changed, and we had the hubs and the coaching and all the other, you know, as the process has evolved. But a couple of years ago, I started, we met for lunch, and I started asking questions, and I realized that almost all of these women no longer were either attending a Victory group or leading one themselves. And so this caused me great concern. So we're going to talk about that in a minute. But my question for you is, what are you doing to intentionally make disciples? And that's what I asked them. And what will you do in 2014? What are your plans? Are you, have you got any new groups starting? Are you doing the status quo? I'm going to talk about a few of these things in a minute. And then my next question for you is this. I want you to think about, I'm kind of reading through these questions, but then I'm going to give you a few minutes to answer them, and then I'm going to talk about some things, and then we're going to discuss some things. But what I want to talk about, I mean, what I want to ask you right now is, what is it that you love about Victory? You're here, you're on, your husbands are pastors or ministers of some description, and so I'm assuming that we all love Victory, and we all love our church, and we're thankful that God placed us here. But what is it that you love about it, and then what are you doing to ensure that it's passed on, that the values and the mission, the discipleship is passed on to other people? And then the last question I have for you is, I want you to write down your top three highlights from Saturday's event. What will you do in 2014 to apply what you learned on Saturday? What is your part? Okay, so I want to put those questions up for you. I'm going to give you about 10 minutes to make some notes. Again, please don't visit right now. Just make some notes for you. And then I'm going to get up here and we'll talk a little bit more. Oh, if you didn't do Discipleship 2014 in the province yet, just skip that question. Work on the others, okay? Hey, PowerPoint people, if you can somehow put all the questions, flip through them starting at the beginning so everybody can see my questions. Yes, and we'll start with that, leading a Victory group, and then go from there. Maybe just flip through slowly. Oh, sorry. What am I thinking? I'm talking to myself. Okay, some of you are talking. We are going to go back to those discussions in a few minutes. But first, I have a few things to share with you called my random thoughts on discipleship. We've all had a lot of discipleship teaching, and so my goal is not to do that for you. But I wanted, just as a pastor's wife, as a minister's wife, I just wanted to cover a few things. One is, why don't you take those questions down for just a minute, and we're going to put them back up when I get through. Okay, my first point is this. We must all do our part, regardless of what Steve and Manny and Jere and Joey and Marie and everybody does. We too must participate and be engaged in the discipleship process at every season of our lives. It will look different. What I do now looks way different than what I did 30 years ago when we first started, but we still have to stay engaged in the process. The temptation as we get older, I don't know about you, but this has been a temptation for me, is to kind of kick back and say, I've paid my dues, now let them do it. Someone else can do it now, the younger girls, because I've done that and I've trained leaders and now they're training leaders. But what happens if we all do that? Then where do we go? Then nobody's discipling anybody because we think we've all already been there and done that. So what I'd like to submit to you today is, no matter how old we are and no matter what we're doing, I was so encouraged by that lady's testimony, the older lady's testimony on Saturday. What did she say? She was 78 years old. And she recently got saved because one of her neighbors and friends reached out to her. It was so moving. I think that was all the testimonies were moving, but that was very encouraging and inspiring. And I'd just like to say, put the scripture up. My comment for you is just this. Our roles change, our life changes, our seasons change, but the Great Commission never changes. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. So for all of us, I think that we need to always keep that in mind. The Great Commission doesn't change. What God's called us to do doesn't change. It will evolve and look different. But still, I pray that for all of us, for all the days that God gives us here on the earth, that we all do our part in the Great Commission, and we all continue to make disciples. Now, that looks different at different seasons. I won't let them get up here for fear of what they might say, but if you talk to Judy and Gigi and Daya and some of the girls that were with me originally, it was like boot camp. So the things that we did a lot of scripture memory and a lot of different things. But it's changed through the years, the way we do things, and the groups, you know, we meet with. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know, you know, sometimes we've been doing groups for a long time. That group disperses and we start a new group. For me, recently, I'm kind of excited about this. When we were praying during our prayer and fasting, we prayed and fasted the same time you all were praying and fasting. And I was praying, Lord, what am I supposed to do this year at our church there at Bethel Franklin, where we live in Nashville? And I felt like the Lord, on the fourth day of the fast, I was praying that night after the prayer meeting. I was thinking about it. Anyway, God just dropped this idea in my heart. I felt like we're actually starting a new service in our church there to reach the younger people. Because we have a lot of, not just older people, but a lot of like 30-somethings and 40-somethings with a lot of small children. But we have a few of the 20-somethings and fewer of the, we have some teenagers, but we don't have too many of the young adults. So we're really trying to reach that, bridge that gap and reach that age group. So we're starting a new service specifically targeted to that group. But I was looking at those women that are going to be leading that, and they're all in their 20s, early to mid-20s. And I felt like the Lord said, start a group with them. So when I get back, well, we had the first meeting before I left, but I am starting a new group. It's a leadership/discipleship group with that group of ladies. They're all in their, a few of them are in their 30s, but most are in their 20s. I'm very excited about that. We're going to be studying lots of things. One thing I'm going to be doing with them is trying to make sure the foundations are firmly established in their lives. And we're also going to be studying the life of David out of 1 and 2 Samuel, his rise from shepherd to king, and all the leadership lessons we can learn from that. So it's a pretty exciting thing. So that's something new for me, something different than I'm doing. And I'm really excited about working with these younger girls again. Okay, number two, we must be intentional about what we are doing, where we are going. You know, when you drive a car, if you take your hand off the wheel, what happens? You start to drift. And if you don't grab the wheel again, you end up in the ditch, right? Well, I think in all of our life, we have to be intentional about where we're going. And when it comes to discipleship, we must be intentional about what we're doing. Otherwise, we'll end up in the ditch. We'll end up in a rut that we don't even know how we got there. We have to be intentional about what we're doing. Don't just do, you know, I mean, I don't know what we're doing here, if we're currently doing sermon material. Is that what we're still doing here? Everybody does sermon material. But if you have leaders, and, you know, sometimes you can throw a new book in for people to read, encourage people to read a book or something. But I would just encourage you to keep it fresh. You as the leader, keep it fresh. Keep it lively. If you just kind of, you know, it's okay, well, we're here, you know, but keep it fresh and keep it, you know, ask God to show you creative ways to keep fresh what you're doing. Be very intentional about what you're doing. And I would encourage you, this is what I've always said, that Teresa's my poster child for discipleship. And the reason is she is always doing one-to-one with somebody new. Ever since I've known her, for all the years that she's been in Victory, now she's a pastor's wife. Before she was a pastor's wife, when she first got saved and when she first came to Victory, and all through the years, all the time that I've known her, she's always got a Victory group going always, and she's always reaching out to somebody new and doing one-to-one with somebody new. And to me, it's what keeps it fresh. It's what keeps it alive for all of us. So I would really encourage you to look for new people, even as pastors' wives. Don't just get, you know, say, well, I can only minister to leaders. You know, go back in there. I know a number of years ago, I had been ministering to leaders for a long time, but I just said, you know what, I need to get back in the groove of where people in church are, the real people live and work and go to, you know, because sometimes as ministers' wives, it can be easy to sort of live in a little bubble because your life can be different, you know, a little bit than everybody else's. We have more flexibility with our time and different things. But then I felt like I wanted to get back to really ministering to people that were just in the church, just church members and not on staff. And when you do that, you will really learn a lot about the inner workings and the day-to-day life of the people in your church. So I really encourage you to do that. And I really encourage you to reach out and minister to new people. Meet new people in church. Be intentional about that. And look for opportunities to minister to new people and do one-to-one. Okay. And also, as new people come, make sure the foundations are firmly established in people's lives. Okay, number three. I spoke about this a little bit. I kind of got ahead of myself, but I'll say it again. I told you about my observation that a lot of our really great Victory Group leaders weren't leading anymore, weren't attending anymore. And so I called them together. These are some of my friends and people I've discipled in the past. I called them together, and we had a meeting. We had lunch. And then I had a little agenda for lunch that they didn't know about. And I just asked them some questions like I ask you today. Are you currently leading a Victory Group? And I knew they weren't, most of them, because I had heard, you know, they had told me so. And then I said, well, what are you going to do? And so anyway, basically we talked and I challenged them and I said, get going. And I'm happy to report that since then, and then they just said, you know, they all had reasons. They were all walking with Jesus, loving him, but life happens. You know, the kids, when they get older, you think you're busy when they're little, but when they get to be middle school and high school, you are running everywhere like a crazy person, and you're trying to keep up with all their activities and all the goings on at home and church, and it can be a very busy season. But they did. They kind of just said, you know what, I need to rise to the challenge. And so one by one, each of them have started a group again. And so it's been really good to see. So I would encourage you as leaders and as pastors' wives, ministers' wives, to look for those people too. To look for the people that you know that used to be fruitful, that used to have groups, and say, hey, what are you doing now? Pull them back in. Encourage them. Inspire them. Try to redeploy them. Maybe they've had a season off. They had a baby and they took a season off and then they just never got back to it. All of these things happen, but just look for those people. Be on the lookout and don't think, hey, they just don't do anymore, but just do what you can to encourage and inspire them to get back in the game and be fruitful once again. You know, I don't know if you all have, I can't think of the name of the book right now, but there's a book that is about fruitfulness and about John 15 and about bearing fruit, being pruned that we would bear fruit and more fruit and much fruit. And for me, for all of us, my prayer is that for all of our lives that we would bear fruit and fruit that would remain. And so we want that for other people too. So look for other people. Look for ways that you can help other people and encourage them to be fruitful. Okay, number four, we must be lifelong learners, always growing and changing. So few people really reach their potential because they stop doing what it takes to grow. In what areas of your life as a leader do you still need to grow? Maybe you can write that question out. I want you to think about it in a minute. In what areas in your life as a leader, do you still need to grow? Are you a learner? Are you always reading a new book or looking, you know, are you learning constantly? Are you praying and asking God, help me to grow and help me to reach my potential? Don't just, I read a quote by John Maxwell last week. It says, we have nearly limitless potential, yet too few ever try to reach it. Because we stop growing. We just kind of, you know, especially, how many of you are 40 and over in this room? Can you raise your hand for me? Yeah, see, we're aging. Okay, how many of you are 50 and over? Yeah, a few of us. Some of you are not. Raise your hands high, girls. Come on. Okay, a few of us, but there's not too many of us 50-somethings, but there's a lot of you 40-somethings, okay? And you're not done yet. You still have many years left to be fruitful on this earth and do what God has called you to do. So don't fall into the trap of settling and being settled because you're older now and because that's easier. Yes, that's easier, but what is that really what you want to do? It's like, okay, now I'm old and I'm going to sit around and watch TV, and what's the latest thing on TV? I remember one day I was having lunch with a friend of mine in a restaurant in Nashville, and there was a group of women about our age, a big group. It looked like a lunch group at a table. It was just two of us, but there were probably 10 of them at this table, and they were loud so we could hear what they were talking about. Do you know what they were talking about? The TV shows they watched. I mean, there's nothing wrong if you have a favorite TV show, but really, the whole group of ladies, for a long time at lunch that day, they were just talking about their favorite TV shows. And I looked at my friend and I said, oh, God, please help us not to evolve into that, where all we do is sit around and talk about TV. I mean, really, what a waste of a life that's all you talk about. It's like, we have to hurry up and get home so we can watch our favorite TV show. I mean, really. So, and I know I have TV shows I like too. I don't know if y'all have Downton Abbey here. That's one of my favorites, although this season's not very good. It's not as good. But we all have TV shows, and that's fine. It's entertainment, and that's good. But don't let your life just evolve into some rut of where you, that's what you're doing. It's like, what are we going to eat today, and what TV show are we going to watch? There's a lot more fun. There's a lot more life to that. So live your life with passion and purpose. And living, you know, and keep always reaching. I don't care if you're 20 or 30 or 40 or 50. Keep growing and learning and trying to reach the potential that God has for you. I don't want one day when I die, I don't want to say, well, you know, she had a lot of potential, but she never amounted to much because she didn't do anything. She sat there and watched TV. So anyway, okay. Number four was be lifelong learners, always growing. I want you to answer that question in a minute. In what areas of your life as a leader do you still need to grow? And there are probably many areas. There are for all of us. Okay, number five. As a leader in a victory group, your job, whether it's a victory group, a leadership group, an outreach group, or whatever we call them now, your job is not to show them how much you know by talking all the time, but to draw out what is in their heart. The same goes for your home with your children, you know, especially as they get older. You don't want to just talk all the time. You want to learn to create an environment where they talk, where they tell you what's going on in their life. In your groups, I really encourage you, and I always try to remind people to really learn to be good listeners. As you lead the group, listen, try not to talk too much, and really try to draw out what's in other people's hearts, so that you can help them to become who God's called them to be. Always, you know, in any leadership position you have, as pastor's wife, as a victory group leader, anything, always remember, one of the things that I've been most impressed in my study about David is several times when he would talk to the Lord, he would say, I am your humble servant. And that is my prayer that all of us, that we will remain humble servants of the Lord all the days of our life, and we'll walk with a spirit of humility and with grace as we minister to people. So, okay, my final thought for you today, and that is this. When I pray for victory, and I do pray for victory most every day, for, you know, as we've grown and it's expanded and all the provinces, all of you who are here from the provinces, we are so glad you're here. We know you made great sacrifice of time and energy and effort and money to get here. And we are so glad you're here. We hope that you'll be able to come all four times this year and that you will be enriched and learn a lot as a result. And we will be enriched as a result of you being here with us. So we're very thankful. But when I pray for victory, almost daily, this is what I pray. I say, Lord, help us to make disciples so that our churches will not grow into mobs of people, but crowds of disciples who love Jesus and know him and press into him. And I think about those scriptures in the Gospels when the crowds would press into Jesus. You know, a lot of our services are crowded and their people are pressing in, but I really pray that those people are not pressing in because victory is the place to be or because it's the hottest thing or any of those things, And that's all good, and we're thankful for all that God's doing. But I really pray every day, Lord, help us to make disciples so that the men and women that are here, they really know the Lord. They've really had an encounter with Jesus, and they really have been established in their faith, and they really do read their Bibles, and they really do have a relationship with the Lord, and they really are making disciples. You know, one of my questions I ask you is, what is it that you love about Victory, and what are you doing to ensure that's passed on? And I think for all of us, what we can do is we can make disciples. We can disciple others as we've been discipled, and we can pass it on. We can pass, you know, and look for opportunities. I know, you know, there's a lot of our services, there's a lot of people, and get out. Don't just sit in your front and not meet, you know, go meet people. Go look for somebody you don't know. Help connect them into a discipleship group, a Victory group. I'm sorry, we call them discipleship groups in Franklin. And really, I really do pray, though, I pray that we won't just grow and be mobs of people, but that we will continue to make disciples, because think of how we can change the city and change this nation and really change the world if we really make disciples, if we have men and women who really love Jesus with all their heart, who know his word, who are led by the Spirit, and who all walk in the thing that God has called for them. Think what this nation will look like in years, and think how, when I look back over the 30 years that we've been here and what God has done, honestly, okay, I'll start to cry. I can't even talk about it. This was not in my notes. I stand amazed at the goodness of God. And so, thank you. Anyway, so I really mean that. I'm amazed at what God has done, what he continues to do. I'm so thankful to be a part. I'm so thankful that God allows us to still be here and be a part. And I pray, Judy may have to come finish my sentence for me. I pray that God will help us to continue to make disciples and to really teach people to love Jesus. Okay, I'm going to stop there because I really can't talk anymore. Okay, but now I can move on. Okay, this is what, we have a few minutes left for discussion. And then I need about five people to come up here. Because we had our Discipleship 2014 event on Saturday, I think we would be remiss if we didn't just celebrate a few of the highlights. I ask you to write down your top three. So I'd like to maybe have about five people just come up here. I'm just going to take the first five that get here. I don't care who you are. And I'll give you about 30 seconds to share one of your highlights from Saturday from our event. So, who wants to volunteer? We'll do that first, and then we'll go back into our discussion groups, okay? Five people. Come on. Don't make me call your names. Shirley, we need you. Nobody's volunteering. Cricket, I'll pick you. Tammy, I'm picking you. Come on. Come. Move. I'm trying to see who I can see. Somebody from the missions table. Pia, send somebody from your table that was here. Anybody that was here on Saturday. Come. Yeah, come. One of your highlights from 2014.
Now, when you were talking about what you shared a while ago, I'm also so amazed at how God moved in our midst the past 30 years. And I'm so glad that... I'm so proud that I'm a part of it. So last Saturday, it was life-changing for me. Because, you know, I've been meeting with different ladies, different groups. But, you know, what the Lord instilled in my heart is to, once again, because I gave birth, you know, we have every season in our life, I gave birth, and with babies. I know a lot of you here are in the same position. You have all the excuses not to start one. But you know what? This year, I was sharing with my group, I'm so excited. Something stirred up in me again. I want to do what I used to do when I was younger. You know, meeting with new people in church. And now, you know, I was telling them also, and I'm more intentional right now you know, I'm so excited. Me and Ariel are going to start again with new couples in church, start a group, new people who have just, you know, started attending in church. And we're so excited to do, again, discipling these young couples.
Cricket? Thank you, Shirley.
Hi, I'm Cricket. What actually encouraged me was what Pastor Steve shared about from being a persecutor to a preacher. And I realized, well, my four siblings are not yet saved. I have four younger brothers, and they are persecutors. You know what I mean? So when he preached that, that actually resonated in my heart that they can become preachers. You know what I mean? They just need an encounter with Jesus and be filled with the Spirit. And in the same chapter, he was able to change. And when he shared that, I was beside my daughter and I was saying, hey, there's hope. There's hope for your uncles. I said, we have to continue to believe. And actually, that what brought to my attention is that we can actually reach out to all those people out there who we see as persecutors. But I said, but God has a call for them in their lives. And we could be the channel to actually share the gospel to them. So that's what actually my take home was.
Great. This is Tammy.
Good morning. For me, but since last year and this year, I've been, God has been impressing that I should be reaching out to, you know, engaging people who really have no, who don't come to church. And what I like about one of yung sa preaching din ni Pastor Steve, that it was parang, how do I say this? God just encouraged me that, diba, in the reminder, in whatever season of our lives, it's really an encounter with Jesus. Whether you're old or you haven't heard about Jesus, it's really an encounter with Him and the empowering of the Holy Spirit that will enable us to, you know, to do whatever God has called us to do. And for me, the encouragement was I just have to be available. I just have to be willing, like, and to respond the moment that God calls me to minister to someone or to encourage someone. Na it's the Holy Spirit's work. It's not my work. Na I have to convince them that Jesus, this is the truth. I just have to be there for them. And yeah, that's the main thing for me.
The last Saturday was a reminder for me personally that we can never outgrow making disciples. And Pastor Steve said that our foundation predicts the future. So every time we meet with the people, it also brought me to the point of checking myself if how's my foundation as a person, because I think we have to always remind ourselves that our foundation is built on Jesus Christ. So that's really the highlight for me, that would remind me to, every time I meet with a new person or I meet with the coaching group, it's always Jesus Christ, loving Jesus and loving other people.
Thank you. Okay, ladies, we're going to pray now. I'm going to close in prayer. And then I want you, we have about 10 minutes before lunch. I'm going to give you that 10 minutes to have a discussion at your table about these questions that you answered. And then we'll tell you when it's time for lunch, okay? Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for each of these women. Lord, I thank you for all the ones they represent. Father, we pray, Jesus, we ask you that you would help us for all of our days to make disciples. Lord, to love you first, to love you more than anything else, to love you more today and tomorrow and the next day than we have ever loved you. Lord, I pray for each of these women that their relationships would grow deeper in you with every passing day and year. Father, that they would love you more. And Lord, as we love you more, Lord, help us to love your people. Lord, help us to fight for your people, to pray, to believe, to trust. Lord, help us to make disciples. Lord, help us to engage the lost people that we know. Help us to establish people in the faith. Lord, help us to equip. Help us to empower, Lord Jesus. Help us to make disciples for as long as we should live on this earth, Father. I pray that it wouldn't get old. We would never tire of hearing about it. We would commit ourselves, our lives, to this purpose, Jesus. Lord, I pray for each of these women. I pray for your grace to sustain her in every season, Lord, in whatever season these women find themselves today. Father, I pray that you would show them what you have for them at this season and in this time, Father. Help us all to be confident and secure in who you've called us to be and walk in what you have for us in every season of our lives. Lord, we thank you for what you've done here these past 30 years. We thank you. We look forward with great expectation to the future. We look forward, Jesus, to seeing where we'll be 30 years from now. Lord, I pray that I can be here and I can sit with all these women and say, look what God has done. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we come before you this morning as your humble servants, and we ask that you would use us. Holy Spirit, I pray that even in these group discussions now, that you would speak to these women, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, ladies, you have a few minutes, and then we'll tell you when lunch starts. Thank you. Okay, ladies, it's 5:05. We're going to have our lunch now. So let's pray. If you want to keep talking at your tables, you may, but just be quiet. Ooh, that was quick. I'm just going to pray and bless the food. Those of you who are in a good conversation, keep it going. And then, you know, we can't all go to the buffet at the same time anyway. And those of you who are finished and ready to eat, you may. We are going to resume promptly at 1 o'clock. So keep your eye on the clock. Finish your lunch. Go to the restroom. Put your lipstick on. Say hi to your friends, whatever you need to do, but we need you to be in your seats by 1 o'clock, okay? Let me pray for the food. Jesus, we thank you for your gracious provision in our lives. We thank you for this food. We pray that you would bless it and nourish our bodies and our conversations. In Jesus' name, amen.